Here we are with David Hawkins, editor-in-chief of The Fulcrum, a news outlet focusing on reversing dysfunction in American government. He's also former senior editor of Congressional Quarterly and Roll Call. Okay, David Hawkins, let me start with this. Tell us a little bit about Fulcrum, because it's such an important experiment, and I know you want people to know about it.
Well, gosh, that's a great offer. So The Fulcrum, right, we refer to ourselves as the only. We are nonprofit, we are nonpartisan, and we are focused entirely on the issues that have made democracy challenged. We, of course, started 2 years ago now, before the pandemic, before Donald Trump's, before the pandemic upended the rules of conducting elections and made the conduct of our elections a top story nationwide. We're going to stay on that story now because it's important going into 2022 to find out which states are going to keep making voting easier and which states are going to try and reverse it once the pandemic subsides. We are going to be on the story of, just what is President Biden able to do to make civil discourse more civil, to make compromise more functional. We are going to be on the story, an important story this year, of the redrawing of the political maps, which is a big story for functional democracy, because just how much they are gerrymandered by partisans to keep themselves in power will say a lot about functional government in the years ahead. And we are going to stay on the story of how our democratic system continues to really not privilege people of color and non-white males don't get the same kind of privilege under our democratic system as they need.
That is for sure, David Hawkins. And if somebody wants to get the Fulcrum, what does one do?
Thanks. That's the obvious plug. It's fulcrum.us. We'd love you to look at our site. We would love you to sign up for the daily email newsletter. You can get it, maybe people have too much in their inboxes. But we do a daily newsletter. We have op-eds that are interesting. We try and have an ideologically diverse set of op-ed writers, some on the right, some on the left, some down the middle. Our mantra is we are rooting for democracy to get better, but we don't, in our little newsroom, have a rooting interest in any of the proposals out there. So if you have a smart idea for how democracy could get fixed, write us an op-ed.
David Hawkins, can Biden's executive orders, which he signed on day one, on the 20th, rolling back many Trump policies, actually undo what Trump got started in terms of immigration, climate change, and other issues? Or does he really need Congress, and will he get Congress?
Well, there are plenty of things. I mean, the executive has a lot of power. And in almost every one of the issues that you mentioned, except climate change, I would suppose, yes, he can genuinely reverse what Trump did. I mean, there's a certain sort of scientific truth that Trump's environmental policies, or lack thereof, in the last 4 years have made the environment even more fragile and imperiled than it would have been otherwise, and there's no rowing that back. Biden now inherits an environment that's 4 years closer to cataclysm than it was. In the main, the president has lots of power, and he's using it. One of the sort of astonishing returns to normal in recent days is that, unlike in the at the start of the Trump administration, when many of the executive orders on his first couple of days in office seemed to have been written by people who barely got out of law school, all of these executive orders were vetted by the Office of Legal Counsel in the White House in advance. The press got copies of them as soon as they were signed. They pointed in many, if not all cases, to the particular aspects of federal law that the president was citing as his authority for doing what he was doing. So there is, in that sense, an important return to normal. Now, on the really big stuff, yes, he's going to need Congress. He's going to need Congress to open up its wallet. To get us out of the if he wants to get 100 million shots in people's arms in the next 100 days, an extraordinarily ambitious plan, he's going to need to get Congress to open up the wallet if he wants to start easing us back to some economic normalcy. Congress is going to have to open up its wallet and set policies. And will he get that? I think it's going to be a tough slog. 51 votes in the Senate, including Kamala Harris as the vice presidential tiebreaker, does not get you there in many, if not most, cases. There is reluctance among many conservative, the handful, but pivotal handful of conservative Democrats to get rid of the filibuster and just allow the Senate to be a 51-vote legislature. So I think he's got a pretty tough road ahead.
What about that filibuster? Is that likely to happen?
I don't think it is likely to happen. I think, and I don't want to get too wonky here, but there already are some sorts of bills, essentially budget bills, tax bills, bills that would have a meaningful impact on the federal balance sheet that are exempt from the filibuster already. The term you'll hear as we get into the winter and spring is reconciliation. That's the magic word that means the idea is to reconcile federal policies against the federal budget.
The filibuster doesn't work in the case of the budget.
So if some of the president's policies to do with COVID recovery or economic stabilization can be put through under reconciliation, then he can get it through with 51 votes. And remember, you know, and then he has to count, of course, on every House member, every House Democrat being healthy enough to come to work, because he's only got, what, 4 or 5 votes to spare on that side, the narrowest Democratic margin since World War II.
And how about the Republicans? Won't he gain some Republicans who, now that they're going to have to vote, unlike the Mitch McConnell days when, you know, he wouldn't even call a vote, now there will be votes, and those Republicans are going to have to go one way or the other, right?
Yeah, that is an excellent point, is that Mitch McConnell's sort of hide-the-ball strategy, you know, he doesn't have the power to hide the ball anymore.
Yeah.
Chuck Schumer will make them take tough votes. Sure. Can you think of 10 that might do this? I'm not sure I can. You know, you got Mitt Romney, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, maybe Shelley Moore Capito from West Virginia. The list gets pretty short pretty quickly. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe there are a few others. I'm not sure there are 10. And, of course, because of our polarized nature of our politics, incredibly, you know, 2 years is just around the corner. Incredibly, there are only two senators of any kind, but two Republican held seats that are up in states that went for Joe Biden this year. The one in Pennsylvania, which Pat Toomey is now leaving, and the one in Wisconsin, where Ron Johnson, the Republican, hasn't decided yet whether he wants to run again. So in other words, there are not that many Republicans who need to have a purple voting record in order to get reelected.
And I got only a minute here, but I want to ask you, what happens to Mike Pence now?
Yeah, I think Mike Pence writes a book and looks for another line of work. You know, there's some. Wonderful companies in Indiana that may be looking for chief executives. Maybe there's a university presidency there. He needs to find a place to live. He doesn't own any real estate because he was living in the governor's mansion or the vice president's mansion for, you know, the past chunk of time. I don't think he's a force to be reckoned with in 2024, but what do I know?
I think you're absolutely right. Anyway, we've been talking to David Hawkings, editor-in-chief of The Fulcrum, a news outlet focusing on reversing dysfunction in American government. He's also former editor of Congressional Quarterly and Roll Call. David, it's always a great pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Alan.